How can the grace of God powerfully motivate his ministers and other office bearers in the church to serve him zealously? Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. Today we hear the first part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Romans 1:14, office bearing as debtorship. In other words, how being an office bearer can be motivated out of a profound sense of one's indebtedness to Christ for saving us, and indebtedness to others to spread the same gospel to them. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
Our text words this evening are from Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Romans 1:14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. With God's help, I want to pursue this theme with you, just one aspect of this text. Office bearing as debtorship. Or you could say office bearing as payment of the debt I owe. We want to look at three thoughts. First, how we come into debt. Second, how we pay back the debt. And third, how we grasp the extent of the debt. Office bearing is debtorship. Coming into debt, paying back the debt, grasping the extent of the debt. Now, when Paul says, I am a debtor, I hope you realize he's not talking about his financial situation. Paul is giving us a pithy yet comprehensive statement that actually shapes and forms his entire ministry as office bearer. He says, I'm a debtor. That's who I am, a debtor. And this perspective of office bearing, bearing office out of debtorship, is a perspective that we desperately need, either as elders, deacons, ministers, yes, but also as office-bearing parent in your own home, or a grandparent, or as a believer, the office of the priesthood of believers. We are to exercise all our offices, also the office of an employer, out of debtorship. This perspective, you see, will cure us from laziness, from self-aggrandizement, from apathy, well, from all the vices to which we are naturally exposed. Tonight, I want you to grasp with clarity how that Paul's debtorship is an important part of his motivation to spread the gospel around the world. And this is a perspective that will furnish us with love for Christ's sheep, love for the souls of men, love for the local church. It will give us tenacity and fortitude as we face all the challenges ahead of us. Here is a well-grounded, office-bearing perspective straight from the mouth and the heart of the Apostle Paul. I am a debtor. It's short, it's memorable, it's simple, and yet it's profound and full of meaning. I am a debtor. And this perspective of debtorship as motivator for office bearing both assesses us, challenges us, and encourages us. It assesses and challenges our motives for office bearing, why we engage in it, and how we view those over whom we bear office. These very words ought to challenge our motives tonight in all our office bearing, whether we're elders or deacons or ministers or moms or dads or teachers or employers or leaders. Here is the acid test to assess and challenge our motives as we face the unknown future. Can you and I say in all our office bearing, I am a debtor? Now, that raises some questions. The first question is, how did Paul come to be in debt? At face value, it seems like a strange thing for Paul to say. Because when you read the book of Acts and you read Paul's epistles, you get the distinct impression that Paul is a man who is going to be chargeable to no man. He can say to the saints in Ephesus, after spending some years there, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He writes to the Corinthians, I'm chargeable, I am burdensome to none of you. He says twice to the Thessalonians, I worked with my own hands, I didn't take anyone's bread for nothing, so that I would not be chargeable to you. And in the epistle to the Romans, he says to everyone, owe no man anything. So it's very clear that Paul had this conviction that he strove to live as much as humanly possible debt-free. And yet he says, I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So how did he come into debt? Well, Paul is profoundly conscious that he is a sinner, saved by grace alone. He saw himself as a debtor because he was convinced he was a great sinner. And he was saved by great grace. And the grace that he was saved by, he wanted everybody to experience. So he felt himself indebted to bring the gospel to everyone he could reach across the entire world. I am a debtor to the Greek, to the barbarian, to the wise, to the unwise. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy to be accepted of all, that Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And because I'm chief sinner, I'm chief debtor. I owe it to the world to tell them the good news about my glorious Savior, that he's come to save sinners. And so Paul's very open about his life. He says, I persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. I'm unworthy to be an apostle. I'm the least of all the apostles. But I have this huge, incalculable debt of grace. I can't repay it all. I can never do enough to repay it. Therefore, by the grace of God, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Because I feel from the core of my being, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. Paul would say with Robert Murray McShane in his poem, which is titled, by the way, I Am a Debtor. When I stand before that throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, will I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. You see, as a believer, when you begin to think about your future destiny, and that in Christ you will be forever with him in that utopian marriage, in that beatific vision, in that glorious land where all evil is walled out and all good is walled in, and you'll be married in perfection to Jesus forever. You owe everything to the grace of God. And your heart then just bursts, doesn't it? Because you want everyone to know the joy of God's salvation. You want everyone to be saved. You see every unconverted person as a mission field. That is the debt that Paul is speaking of here. He says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. And you say, but wait a minute. What did Paul owe to the Greeks? Didn't they owe things to him? I mean, he's bringing them the gospel. They're in debt to him. Well, that's true in one way, of course. But what do the wise? What does Paul owe to the wise? The wise haven't helped him. And certainly he doesn't owe anything to the unwise, does he? What have they done for Paul? Don't the unwise and the wise owe things to Paul? Well, in one sense, yes. The Ephesians wept when he left them. Because they were, the Bible says, indebted to him. But Paul got into debt to these people. Because even though the Greeks and the barbarians, the wise and the unwise, none of them owed him anything. Nor did they give him things by which he could live. But he was in debt to them because of what we read back in verse 5 when he speaks about the gospel. He says in verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Paul is saying, I have received grace from God. That makes me a debtor. But even more, I have received office from God. I have received apostleship from God to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. So here's the point. And I'm going to say it twice because it's important. When you receive grace from God, Paul says you immediately become a debtor to those who need grace from God. Let me say it again. Because it's behind every mission effort of this church. It's behind the church itself. When you receive grace from God, Paul says you immediately become a debtor to those who need grace from God. That's why our church motto is by the Spirit's grace, discipling believers in Christ and evangelizing unbelievers for God's glory. That is our debt, congregation. That's the debt Paul had. And so when you receive grace from God, you come under a debt of obligation. Not just a duty ethics debt, but a debt of obligation. In which the Lord says, go. Speak to others. Or in Paul's case, you will be an apostle to the Greeks and to the barbarians. You owe them a debt of love. You are constrained by divine commission, constrained by the love you have to the souls of men. You see, the love of Christ, Paul says, constrains me, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. So when Paul says, owe no man anything but to love one another, he is saying, this burden to love one another's souls, this is the debt I feel. Christ has loved my soul. I must now love other souls and share with them what I have found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's like those lepers. Remember when they didn't dare go back into Israel because they were lepers? And so they finally said, well, we'll fall into the hands of the Syrians outside the camp. And if they kill us, they kill us. And they went and God had discomfited the Syrians. And they had fled and left all their spoils behind. And the lepers saw all the spoil. They said, what are we going to do? Well, we owe it. We owe it to the people of Israel to go back and tell them what's here, all the spoils that are here. And you see, that's how Paul feels. That's how every true believer feels, whether called to a particular church office or not. Look at the gospel. It's so rich. Everyone needs to know about this. Come, let us go and tell. We owe a debt. And this is a debt of love, you see. when the Syrians said, we've got to go and tell the Israelites. It was a willful debtorship. It was a loving debtorship. It was perhaps a tearful debtorship. They probably wept when they saw it all. You see, and this is a man, Paul, who can therefore say, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I'd even be willing to be accursed if my brethren might come to the knowledge of the gospel. This is my delight. This is my calling. This is my all-absorbing passion and mission to pay off my debt by loving the souls of other people, by bringing them the gospel message, so much as is in me. He says in verse 15. Do you see the follow-up? I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise, the unwise, verse 14. So as much, verse 15, as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm always ready to preach, says Paul. I'm always ready. There's this willingness, there's this eagerness to talk about Jesus, to proclaim him, to have eagerness and willingness to pay off this great debt. What he has done for me, the smallest thing I can do is to proclaim his name to the ends of the earth, as much as in me lies. Now, if we had this perspective of office bearing, how would that change your life? How would it change my life? If this sense of obligation, rooted in love to God for the free grace given, would find expression and love to our fellow men who desperately need the same grace we receive, how would that affect our office as elder, as deacon, as dad, as mom, or to anyone under authority under us? How would it affect the way we pray? How would it affect the way we work? How would it affect the way we worship on the Lord's Day? Well, it would be profound. Because you'd actually see every person that's unsaved as a mission field. You'd see every believer with all his problems and concerns and fears as someone who needs more and more large dosages of the gospel. You want to convey the love of God in Christ Jesus to every human being you come across. Paul feels like he's a debtor to the whole world. Let me give you a wonderful example. You remember, some of you, your older ones, remember Reverend Kite in the NRC, and he was a missionary with passion. And you know the story. He was dropped down in the middle of natives in Irian-Yaya who had never seen a white man, never heard the gospel. No sooner did he hit ground from the helicopter, and he was surrounded with men with their bows and arrows aimed at him, thought he was going to die, but he was there willing to die to bring them the gospel. Well, today there's over 10,000 members in the church there in Irian-Yaya. God did wondrous things through this man. But this man was possessed with this debtorship of love. When he came to Grand Rapids one time, he had to deposit a check in a bank. It was 5 minutes to five. The bank closed at 5, and I took him to the bank. And as we were ready to walk in the bank, he saw some Jews walking along, Orthodox Jews, down Michigan. And he said to me, there's some Jews over there. I said, yeah. He goes, well, I want to go talk to them, but, yeah, I thought you needed to cash the check. Well, I do, but, and he was just torn. You could just tell he was torn. He had to cash the check in the next 5 minutes, but he wanted to talk to them as well. So I quickly cashed the check, and we went to look for him. We couldn't find him. But he said this to me. I'll never forget it. He said, the whole world is my parish. See, that's Paul. And that's this church. That's the ministry of this church. Not only among ourselves here, but the ministries of this church go far beyond these walls. The passion of this church is we want to bring the gospel to every one of us sitting in the pews. We can't let anyone go by, go lost. But we also want to send it out to the ends of the world. Hence our Christian education in Plymouth Christian Schools, to train up people in church and home and school in doctrine so they can go out to colleges and universities and speak to others and know the grace of God themselves and then become families in the church who are well-versed, who can do apologetics, who can speak to others, who can spread the gospel in the seminary, or rather in the university and beyond. Hence also the seminary, as a matter of fact. Training men who go out and train other people all over the world. So as I'm speaking right now, today, there's 150 or so graduates from seminary who are preaching in 20 different countries around the world. Reaching how many tens of thousands of people, even as we speak? I don't know. I do know that one was in charge of 5 million people as the head of 5 seminaries in a denomination. I know that others are laboring in small groups of maybe a church of 25 people. The numbers ultimately don't matter. The point is this, that all around the world, this church is sending people. And this is our debtorship. It's nothing to be proud of. We're just using the gifts God gives us as best we can, looking to Him for blessing. But it's not just seminary. It's not just Plymouth Christian Schools. It's the neighborhood evangelism on Sunday afternoon. You know, that young man came to the consistory a few years ago and told us he was converted through the neighborhood Sunday school ministry. And his whole life had been changed. He came back to visit us to tell us. That was an incredible moment in the consistory room of great joy. That labor is not in vain. Or HHOM, ministering to a couple handfuls of people every Sunday afternoon. Press on. The labor is not in vain. Because we're debtors to share the gospel with people everywhere.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."